story of the day on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by The Pig and Duke, your neighborhood pub at the corner of 12th and 12th Southwest, where you can win a trip to see the Seahawks versus the 49ers with a pigskin club.
Well, the big story of the day just happens to revolve around what we are doing and where we are. We are at Canyon Meadows Golf Course. It is the second annual Shaw Charity Classic on the Champions Tour. That's the big story. And before, I just want to make mention of this. The big story brought to you by Pig and Duke, your neighborhood pub at the corner of 12th and 12th Southwest. Want to thank the Pig and Duke for being the sponsors for the big story all summer. Thanks very much to them, and we look forward to continued patronage and partnerships with the Pig and Duke in the future. But anyway, to the big story we go. Bruce, what I do at this point is I'd like to call upon you just to set the table for those who are just joining us here this afternoon. They're casual golf observers. Maybe they don't even know what, they don't follow golf at all, but they know it's a big deal. They know this is a PGA event. Tell us a little bit about the Champions Tour, who's here and what it's all about.
Well, the Champions Tour was sort of created, they used to call it the Seniors Tour, and it was created as a place for people like Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino and those guys to go out and, continue doing. It was more like a show exhibition type thing in the early days. It's evolved into a lot more than that. It is a very serious business now. Guys can make some serious dough after they retire. We see so many retired hockey players and football players. Sure. Their careers end. There's nothing after that. These guys are able to go on forever. And we just heard from Mike Johnson talking a little bit about this event. He says that within 1 year, this has become one of the top three events in the entire tour.
Right.
So
Mike Stevens, the president of the Champions Tour, was on with us just a couple hours ago. And that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I mean, to go that fast. I mean, it says a lot about the people who finance this, the Flames ownership group, a couple of the people, Alan Markin from there, Clay Riddell, the kind of energies they put into this, the sponsors and the organizers. So it says a lot about it. And you're going to see first-rate golf.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to play necessarily 7,500-yard courses. This is not a 400-yard drive thing or 350-yard drive thing. You're not going to see Rory McIlroy kind of drives, but you're going to see some of the greatest names that you've ever seen, and Bernhard Langer, who's the best player on this tour, is playing as well as anybody at the world at the moment.
Right.
You're going to see them playing great golf.
Three rounds, no cut, as opposed to a PGA tournament.
Yeah.
We talked, as we mentioned, we had a conversation with Mike Stevens earlier, the president of the Champions Tour, and Josh, it was a question you asked him about where this course fits. The tournament itself, top three by the players' standards already, mm-hmm. and I believe that the answer to your question from Mike was this is already a top five course on the tour for them.
Yeah, which that's, the big thing I was, wondering is where does it rank among the players, and this is definitely one of the big ones, for sure.
We're just going to mic up Tom Pernice here in a second.
Well, that would be not a bad idea since he's leading, just coming off the course. And we thank Tom for spending some time with us. Thanks for doing this. First of all, how are you?
Fantastic.
Great round, 8-under, I believe. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, very nice.
Tell me about the day.
Well, I obviously started on the back nine, got off to a great start. I buried the first five. So hit a lot of good quality shots in there pretty close, about 6 feet at 10 and made it. Had about a 15-footer for eagle at 11, two-putted it, 15-footer at 12 for birdie and made it, 13 about a 18-footer for birdie and made it, and then the par 3 was about 6 or 7 feet for birdie and made it. So obviously off to a great start helped. A couple bogeys today, just short of the green at 17, playing for a flyer out of the right rough and came up short, pitched it by about 6 feet for par and I missed it, and then I three-putted 8 from about 20 feet straight up the hill. So fantastic day. It's great to get off to a great start.
With the great start, is it too simplistic to ask if one particular part of the game was going better for you? Was there a strength for you out on the course today?
Well, anytime you shoot a low score, you have to capitalize and convert and make the putts. You can hit it in there 15, 10 feet all the time, but you need to, when you can capitalize on those, it's great. I drove the ball very well today, kept it in play other than a couple loose drives on the front nine. But, nothing was ever it was always in play, even though it could be in the rough here. But I drove the ball pretty well. If you drive the ball well here, you've got some opportunities. So, and like I said, I putted well enough to capitalize on the opportunities when I had them.
And considering the weather yesterday afternoon, this is a little bit easier to play today.
Well, luckily I was in the pro-am yesterday morning,
which
was just cool, and I didn't have to weather the rain that some of them did yesterday. So I know it turned out to be a beautiful day. It was a little cool this morning, but quickly warmed right up, and really a nice day. So it'd be nice to dodge some of the rain here on the weekend and continue mm-hmm. with this nice weather. But it was great. It's always great to come back here to Calgary. Last year they did a great job, and the crowds are spectacular here, and they were again today. So it's really nice to see.
I was going to ask you, from last year to this year, I know they made a few changes, tried to toughen up the course. Compare last year to this year in terms of the playability of the course.
Well, the only thing they did to the course was made one of the holes, they moved the tees up 30 yards and made it a par 4 instead of a par 5. So right. In actuality, they really didn't change the course. Okay. They just changed the number of what the par was, to be honest with you. Golf course in great shape. The greens are some of the best greens we play all year, so good quality greens. With the rain yesterday, the greens were receptive and holding, so you know, you drove it in the fairway, you had some opportunities to go right at them. But the golf course is great.
Because we've heard, like, within a year, this tournament has gone to being one of the top five, maybe on the entire tour. People love it, et cetera. What do you guys like about coming to play this course?
Well, I think they like Calgary as in general. I think, you know, Calgary's, if you go downtown, it's an exciting town. There's a lot going on. The economy's booming. Mm-hmm. You know, Shaw's a great sponsor. The people here are excited about having us here. Mm-hmm. It's a new event. The golf course is in great shape.
Sure.
Last year the weather was spectacular, and so far the weather's been good. So there's a lot of things going for you. Huge crowds. People mm-hmm. enjoy that on the Champions Tour. It's one of our larger purses. So, you know, the charitable dollars are, you know, last year's $2 or $2.5 million to the local communities on the first year, stuff like that. You know, they're doing all the right things. So a few changes they need to make on the contouring of the fairways on the golf course. But other than that, it's fantastic.
Tom, what happens now for you in preparation for tomorrow? Are you a guy that the round's over now, you go away, you have a good meal, you forget about it? Or are you going to relive some of the day? Or do you have work to do between now and the time you tee off tomorrow?
I may go putt for about 10 or 15 minutes, and that'd be about it. Go grab a bite to eat real quick, maybe a little snack before I get out here, and then have dinner later on. But, no, I'm kind of a sports buff, so there's some football on, I think, tonight.
So who's your team? What teams you know,
I was
you
born
for?
And raised in Kansas City, so I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan, and my Kansas City Royals are right there in the hunt.
Yes, they are.
Against the Tigers in the Midwest of the American League. So we haven't been there for 20 or 30 years, so that's pretty exciting. So that's always fun to see. And, you know, college football started and pro football started in America, and all of us are pretty excited about that. So it's fun to have some stuff to watch at night.
We'll see if we can get you hooked on Canadian football.
Oh, I've watched a little bit. I mean, yesterday in the prime, I got to play with Johnny Rogers, which he started his career up here in Montreal, and I remember watching him quite a bit at Nebraska growing up in Kansas City, and then I remember that he opted and went to Montreal, and played for, I think, 4 years in Montreal, and was pretty impressive. So we had a lot of fun yesterday, so it's good.
Indulge me in one weather question. Steve Elkington was saying, were you guys in Houston last week?
We were in Seattle last week.
In Seattle, okay. So the change has not been that dramatic then.
Has not.
Oh, okay.
No, and
okay.
We were in upstate New York at Dick's Sporting Goods the week before that, and very similar. So we've dodged a lot of the hot weather, really, thus far this year. We've been pretty lucky.
Yeah. Well, we've had a good growing season, and you can see that reflected in the course.
Yeah, of course, in beautiful shape. Yeah. So
thank you very much
nice
for joining us.
Out here. Thank you for
having
me.
And congratulations. Best of luck on Saturday and Sunday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
There you go.
With a win, 6 top 10 so far in the season. Mm-hmm. A guy who's won a tidy $4.5 million in his career so far playing on the Champions Tour. Not too bad for Tom Pernice.
Tom Pernice Jr., and he 8-under along with, our next guest. As we're going to invite Mr. Bryant to come in and join us. As Tom stopped by, Bart Bryant also joining us, 8-under as well. And I suppose the first of all, Bart, thanks for doing this.
You're welcome.
The legitimate opening question is, how did the day go for you?
Well, it was obviously a good day. Anytime you shoot 62, which was 8-under around this track, you're pretty happy. So, you know, I did a lot of things really well, made some – hit a lot of close iron shots, but also made a couple long putts, and usually that's what happens when you shoot that low. So all in all, it's a great start. I had a good start here last year.
Right.
I didn't quite keep it rolling like Rocco did, you know, but so hopefully I can do a little bit better this year.
Being in this position of the catbird seat where you're one of the first groups out and now you've kind of set the bar, tell me about that. Obviously you got to enjoy that, or are now you nervous watching the scoreboard?
Oh, no. I mean, it's the first day of the tournament. You're not nervous.
Okay.
You got to go out. You got to shoot low. You know, somebody, I mean, when I was coming in, I was I just thought, you know, it'd be nice if I could get it to eight.
Right.
But in my mind, I'm going, somebody may get it. You know, I mean, we got Bernhard. Who knows who's out behind us? You know, yeah. I'm going, you know, that somebody might birdie five or six in the road to end up and shoot nine or 10 under. Who knows? So,
sure.
I mean, you just got to go as low as you can most weeks out here. And if you start worrying about what the other guys are doing, especially on day one, you're going to be in trouble. So you just got to go low.
One of the things we've heard, too, because of the three-day format, though, is that you can't afford on day one to get behind by any measure, because then it becomes like chasing Rocco last year. Right?
Exactly. No doubt. And the thing is, you know, that's we play some quality courses. I mean, this is a quality golf course, but we've got a lot of really quality players. And unless we just get some really bad weather or really hard, tough conditions with the greens or something, the scores are going to be low like they are here. So week in and week out, you better go get it the first day if you want to have a chance to win at the end. It's pretty hard to come back.
You're a Texas guy. This kind of parkland style appeal to you, or do you have a preference for a kind of a style that you like best?
Well, so far this has suited my eye pretty well.
Apparently it has.
I don't know. Calgary,
second dumb
nice
question.
Town.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about why the guys like coming to Calgary.
Well, obviously, as far as golf goes,
yeah.
I mean, it's the course is in great shape, first of all. I mean, they do a fantastic job. The greens are, you know, they don't roll any better anywhere else that we play. You know, fairways are perfect. So they do a fantastic job of getting the course in shape. So golf-wise, it's just a good place to come and play. You know, you can make some birdies around here. It's kind of good good to get some little momentum going. But you know what? Honestly, the people here are just so happy to have us.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes us excited. When we get here, there's a little excitement in the air. You got people out here on the practice round days and the pro-ams, and they're cheering for you. You know, we don't get that every week, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys are so excited to have us here really makes us excited to be here. And honestly, it's one of our bigger purses other than our majors.
Yeah.
So, you know, thanks to the Shaw people, we appreciate it.
Six top tens for you this year. Haven't had a victory yet. There's one guy seems to be getting all the victories, though. I'm loath to ask guys to talk about other players, but you got to talk about what it's been like facing that German guy this year.
Let's see. Well, I've talked about Tiger for 15 years. I got to talk about Bernhard every week. So. No, it's unbelievable what he's doing. I mean, I think people that are really in the know in the golf world understand it, but I think the average Joe doesn't realize what Bernhard is doing out here. It's incredible. I mean, a lot of us just shake our heads.
Yeah.
We go out and play some good golf, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of tied with him, and then you look at the leaderboard at the end of the day on Sunday, and somehow he pulled out another victory, you know.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy. He's great for our tour.
Yeah.
You know, everybody likes him. So when he does well, it's kind of like what Tiger does well on the PGA Tour. It's good for us. So in some backhanded way, we kind of pull for Bernhard. And, you know, if we're not up there too high on the leaderboard. So.
Yeah. Bart Bryant, our guest, 8-under today, the first day. Because this is a new tournament, I imagine there's people that are coming out and watching this tour, this event for the first time. What are they going to notice, Bart? What do they see at a Champions Tour event that maybe they haven't seen before?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, you got a lot of legends here playing the game.
I'll say.
You really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I played with Hal Irwin today, Mark O'Meara. You know, so
what have they ever done?
I'm not a legend by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm always playing with them. You know, so it's pretty cool that they can come to a venue and see all these guys together. You know, we've lost Jack and Arnold and Leisure, you know, but we still have a lot of legends out here playing golf. Wonderful guys, still play really good golf. And I think that's what most people are excited to see are those names that they have become familiar with and recognize. Yeah, the guys we're all getting a little bit older. But hopefully they'll also be surprised at the quality of play when they come out. They'll go, wow, these old guys can still play golf. Mm. And, you know, that's what makes us excited when we hear people say that.
Well, so is it any different, you know, is it any different for you now in terms of your preparation for tomorrow and the rest of the weekend than, you know, when you were on the regular tour? I mean,
well, it is out here because, unfortunately, I had a couple of wrist fusions done. I missed about 3 years playing golf. So
sure.
But so when I go to a tournament site, I warm up before I play, and then I'm done.
Okay.
I play my 18 holes, and I'm done. And honestly, there's probably a lot of other guys like that out here. You know, we're just trying to keep our body parts. So, you know, for the most part, I think guys are, you know, you just don't go to the range when you get done. Like, some guys still have the ability to do that. I mean, Bernhard's in such good shape. He still has the ability to do that. But for most of us, it's kind of about being able to stay rested and focused and ready to play because, you know, you just get fatigued quicker. And like I said, most of us have injuries that we're just nursing all the time.
What about things like we were talking to the president, Mark Stevens, earlier, or Mike Stevens, I should say, about, you know, what you guys do. You come in, you play the pro-ams, you guys have been all over Calgary promoting and things like that. Do you enjoy that? I mean, being an ambassador, meeting, you know, Calgarians, or you know, I guess yeah. You're in Quebec City next week.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, that's what this tour is about.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, our bread and butter out here is, you know, is Wednesday and Thursday doing the pro-ams and entertaining and helping, you know, those people who are coming in to have a really good time. And so if we don't do that well, we're out of a job. So, but I'm not saying we're doing that because of this. I mean, we really enjoy it.
Yeah.
We really do. I think guys are out here, it's, you know, we've kind of, to some degree, you've made your money, you've had your career, and this is a lot of fun. It's still very competitive. But it's a little more relaxed. And so when you go out and play the pro-am, it's not on the tour. Sometimes if you're a little off, you're really working hard on your game during that pro-am day,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to figure out what am I doing wrong. And out here, it's like, well, I ain't quite got it. You know, we'll figure it out tomorrow. So it's just not as big a deal.
Absolutely.
As a Texas guy, you must like a little fishing. Have you had a chance to do some fishing around here?
No, you know, I'm not a big fisherman. You know, my brother Brad, he didn't make it this year, but he's kind of the fisherman of the family.
Okay.
So if he's here, I'm sure he has his fly rod out. But I did a little fishing in my earlier days, but I haven't done much. But I've heard it. I've heard a few guys talk about great fishing around here.
Yeah, well, the river that runs right through the heart of town is one of the top 10 fishing rivers in the continent. So,
Bart, thank you for doing this. This has been an honor and a pleasure to spend some time with you. Congratulations on a great day one, and here's best of luck for you in the second and third days.
Thank you, guys.
Hit them good tomorrow.
Bart Bryant joining us 8-under, tied atop the leaderboard, waiting for everybody else to come in, but good enough to join us. This is pretty awesome.
You know
what I mean?
I wish they'd bring us a guy who has some personality.
Well,
these guys,
yeah.
It's like pulling.
Friendly. If they could only be friendly, right?
They got nothing to say. Anyhow. No, it's great.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why I always say that if I had my druthers to cover one sport at this stage of my life, it would probably be golf. Because there are great stories and there are great storytellers. And especially at this point, again, and he was suggesting it. You know, the story's kind of written. They've had their big career,
yeah.
And although they still want to win, it's not about, well, you know, you had a terrible senior career,
sure.
So you're finished.
Sure.
None of that. They're not playing with that over their head so that they can enjoy themselves. And I thought it was really interesting how we talked about ain't nobody pounding balls here. It's not like you get into town, find the range, and hit 1,000 like Vijay Singh.
Yeah.
It's like you rest your body. The rest of your mind. Because I have to think, and I remember asking Gordie Howe when he was in his 50s and still playing, I said, just the focus and the mental part, forget the physical part. How do you, like, get yourself concentrated for 2.5 or 3 hours of, like, riding the roller coaster?
Yeah.
And that's what these guys are doing. They're doing a four and a half hour round. And it's, you know, that's, you got to really be on top of that. So, anyhow.
We'll take a break. This officially has been the big story of the day, brought to you by the Pig and Duke, your neighborhood pub at the corner of 12th and 12th Southwest, where you can win a trip to see the Seahawks and the 49ers with the Pigskin Club. Something tells me not much is going to change. We're down here at the Shaw Charity Classic. We are now starting to have golfers come in. We're going to hit them as they come in. Josh, you really have to slow down and let Bruce and I ask some questions,
hey.
Because you're kind of taking over things again.
Hey, I have no problem observing you to
now,
do this.
Now, our neighbors down the dial are here. What is interesting is they have a Tim and we have a Tim. I'm thinking we should have we should have the Tim's fight.
Yeah.
Like kind of a little gladiator
for
thing.
Headlights.
Don't you think that would be great?
I like their Tim is slightly bigger than ours.
Well, he's got the reach, but ours has been putting on the pounds today.
That's
so he's
got a feistier Tim.
Got a little feistier Tim.
That's true.
We'll take a break and come back with more from Canyon Meadows. It's the Shaw Charity Classic. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Proud home for the Flames and Hitmen. Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Shaw Charity Classic on the Champions Tour. It's day one here at Canyon Meadows, and it's been a beautiful day. Josh Humphreys and Bruce Dobing alongside yours truly. We can tell you that as we look at the top of the leaderboard, a pair of gentlemen who we just had on the radio at 8-under, Bart Bryant and Tom Pernice Jr. leading, David Frost 7-under, Joe Durant 6-under, Joe Daly 6-under, Steve Elkington 5-under. So, Bruce, at least early on, it looks like a very competitive weekend shaping up. Nobody running away and hiding, so to speak.
Yeah, Rod Spittle, top Canadian at 2-under par. Stephen Ames is playing at the 18th hole. He's 1-over par. We talked a little bit about, I mean, he's kind of the hometown guy here. There's got to be a little bit of pressure, right, for this guy. It's his first kick at the can, too. Hey, you're going to the Champions Tour. You should be able to kick the doors down. You're just playing on the tour. So I think he's got all that sort of stuff that a lot of these guys have going in, plus the hometown thing. So,
well, somewhat of an ambassador, right?
Yeah.
Because he had a role to play in bringing the tournament here, did he not?
Yes. Well, when we were talking again earlier about that, he was one of the guys that was sort of saying, you know, this is a great place with a lot of money on the line, you know, a lot of corporate sponsors, a place that loves its golf. Because we're denied it for half the year. We can't play here.
Yep.
People are so anxious when the season starts.
What's been fun today, Josh, is to kind of walk around and I don't know how to describe it to people other than this feels big.
Yeah.
You know, it's so well laid out. Typical Calgary fashion. The volunteers are everywhere. You know, everybody's dressed up. You know, everybody's in order. Mm-hmm. You know, they got the scoreboards, the big screens. They've got the galleries. You see just everything that you come to expect from a big time event. Maybe I shouldn't say that, Bruce. It's not intended to belittle it, but it's just, to me, very cool to walk in here and feel like you're part of something big.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the attractions that, as I say, I like covering golf.
And yeah.
When you get on the course for any of these tournaments, like you get there for a Ryder Cup or a U.S. Open, you would think this amount of space, you wouldn't feel energy. The energy just goes through the place.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear a cheer over there.
Yeah.
You know, you've been watching TV all your life, and you hear the cheer three holes over. Man, when you hear it here, the hair goes up in the back of your neck because something's going on. So I find it a lot of fun, and they've done it first rate. The PGA people take a backseat to no one when it comes to staging events and knowing how to stage events. And, you know, getting people to the media, more people would be even better, getting people to the media, doing that sort of stuff. Yeah.
We just had the top two guys in the tournament back-to-back, and Bruce is already complaining.
I'm insatiable.
There's a lull.
I want more.
It gives us an opportunity to, this would normally be where we do headlines, and Josh, I don't know if there's a, you know, there's probably some headlines out there, but I think just a couple things. We were able to confirm with the Calgary Flames that Brad Treliving was on with us a couple of days ago, asked him about the possibility of players coming to camp on PTOs. He talked at that time that he was open to it. What they were really looking for is some depth on the blue line. Well, they go out and get it in Sheldon Brookbank, who last year was with Chicago. He's going to come on a PTO. We know the rep on this kid, big body.
Tell us what PTO stands for.
Professional tryout opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you, Bruce. Here I've been asking you to define golf. And then I had a long-running conversation at an inopportune time with Wes from the Sun about Doug Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Carr also on a professional tryout opportunity. He's more likely destined to the minors as a goalie, was at prospect camp, was in Abbotsford last year. As a matter of fact, usurped Olivier Waugh. They sent him to Alaska. He backed up Yorni Ortio in the playoffs against Grand Rapids. He's a kid that came out of college last year that they're very high on. And, you know, talked to him at camp, said this was the only team that he was talking to. Where I'm at a little bit of a loss right now is I'm not sure exactly how many goaltending positions the Flames have. They have two in Adirondack. They have two with the big club. Now, whether or not they have one in Colorado with their new ECHL affiliate, my assumption is they do. Going to want five goalies. So there may be room. With Thiessen signed as an American League deal, Ortio going there to play, you probably still want another goalie somewhere in case of injuries.
Yeah, and John Gillies isn't going to go out of college.
No, he's staying.
So he's staying college. So, I mean, that's the other guy people think about. He's going to stay in the college route. But, I mean, you bring in these guys. You finished 27th in the NHL last year. You got to kick your tires at any opportunity you can get. You wanted to add depth on the D. Bring in Sheldon Brookbank again. Again, you can't really argue it or say anything bad about it, because if it's something that doesn't work out, it doesn't cost you anything. He doesn't have to stay with your organization. Nope. He can either go down and maybe start in the American Hockey League, add some depth down there. He can come up here, and you'd probably want a guy like a Sheldon Brookbank maybe to be a seventh defenseman up here rather than a Tyler Watherspoon, just because of the amount of ice time he's going to get.
You'd rather have
Tyler. Same sort of thing with Yoni Ortio. You want him down in the minors getting games rather than backing up a guy up here. So I like the move. Like I say, you got to, you know, turn over every stone, like we talk about all the time. What's the cost of bringing him here? If it works out great, he's your seventh D man. Put him on a one-way deal, just a low contract to be your seventh guy, knows his role. If you want to send him to the minors, do whatever you can with him. And if it doesn't work out for you, like we saw with a guy like Brad Winchester a couple years ago, and then you don't have to keep him. You can release him straight up, and it doesn't cost you anything to do it. So I do like the Flames that they're going out there and at least trying and kicking the tires on these things.
Bruce, a big Labor Day matchup on Monday, 7-1, Eskimos and Stampeders. The notable news today seemed to come out of Edmonton, where Mike Riley didn't throw. Matt Nichols took the first team reps. Fred Stamps moved to the second team after taking first. But we had Scott Mitchell on from the Sun, and he said, I'll believe it when I see it, that there might be some...
I heard some skepticism in his voice.
Yes, which isn't a bad thing, right? Labor Day, a little subterfuge, a little, a little sleight of hand.
Well, we were talked a little bit about it earlier, is that neither team has a quarterback who you're going to go, well, we know what we're going to get from him if he has a good day. We have guys who are still trying to, prove that thing. Bo Levi Mitchell, it's his first full year as a starter. Up in Edmonton with the guys they've got there, they've had a kick at the can. So there's a chance that we know what they're about. But it's the surrounding cast of characters that make the difference for the Stamps, and why you think that Bo Levi Mitchell's got more support there.
Now, nothing to do with this game, but because this two-game set, well, I guess this game actually marks the halfway point once they played it. Around the table, anybody surprised we haven't seen Drew Tate in any meaningful time?
Absolutely. Still shocked.
Okay, me too.
Are you shocked, though, that the Stampeders haven't thrown him in there, or are you shocked in the fact that Bo Levi Mitchell has done enough to stay in that number one spot?
I don't think he's done. I don't think there's been several games in which I thought, just for a change of pace or something.
Games four or five?
Yeah. And everything we heard going into the
win
season,
over Hamilton in town, yeah.
The scuttlebutt around the league was that this was going to be a 1 and 1A kind of situation.
Yeah.
And that depending on the team, the situation, who was playing well, that they would sort of alternate them. So the fact that Drew Tate has done squiddly dot this year is a bit of a shock to me, honestly. And I think there's things he can offer, but I also give John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson credit that they've decided this is their guy, and he's going to get an education.
That's what I like, too, because you're sending the message to Bo Levi Mitchell. He's still young. He's the rookie quarterback, rookie starter. You're sending that message to him that, yes, you're a guy. You're the number one guy. Put that short leash on you where the pressure's on, that if you throw an interception or you have a bad half or a bad quarter or things aren't going good in the midst of a game, you've lost your job already to Drew Tate. Because if Drew Tate comes in and does some amazing things, all of a sudden you have to essentially say Drew Tate's your number one. You can't have Drew Tate come in and throw three touchdowns, 400 yards and a half or something crazy like that, and all of a sudden now we're going to go back to Bo Levi Mitchell. This way you're sending the message that Bo is your guy, we have confidence in you, you're going to make mistakes, we understand that, but don't feel pressured to do too many special things, because you are a guy, we're going to go with you.
I'm not so sure you and I were in a permanent partnership in the afternoon when Tom Higgins was almost bullied by the media into taking Hank out of the game. Remember that?
It was us, you and me.
I think personally we bullied him into it.
We noogied
him. But you remember that, right? That there was the Frank and the Hank, and when Henry first got here, there were these times, and everybody seemed to, well, why don't you pull him out? And Tom defended, and then the next year was like, well, we're going to pull Hank out every once in a while, let him watch. Yeah. That was the big thing. We're going
to,
Listen
to the media is never good.
No. And then that lasted all like a week or so.
But you're right.
They resisted that too.
You're right, and there are situations where it can work. I'm not saying that it can't work with two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But Josh's point is really well made. He comes in and he has a good game. You open up a can of worms because you want Bo Levi to keep playing. And every time he has a bad half or a bad quarter or something, the fans are going to go, "Hey, put the other guy in. Remember when he did X, right?"
Right.
It makes it tough, and they're making an investment, and I fully expect this time, when we speak this time next year, that you will see Drew Tate will be a starting quarterback somewhere else.
You do, eh?
Yep.
Well,
he's not a 22-year-old guy.
No, he's not.
This is a guy who should be playing somewhere, somehow, and when I've seen some of the quarterbacking around the league this year, I think he's got a shot.
The only, and this it's the embarrassment of riches thing that, you know, who's behind him, mm-hmm. right? And that's the one thing the Calgary Stampeders. Now, I guess the Eskimos have that to a certain extent because Riley came in and beat the Argonauts. When Lule's healthy, BC's got it. Mm-hmm. Saskatchewan.
Tino Sinceri comes in.
He came in.
And he did just fine against BC.
You know, and I this is just plain ignorance on my part. I just don't know what's behind Drew Tate. Nobody does, mm-hmm. right? Maybe they're comfortable, Bruce, and they can move Tate for something.
Calgary fans are spoiled. Actually, knowing who the third quarterback has been for a few years.
Yes, exactly.
In most CFL cities, the third quarterback is quite rapidly the first quarterback, very soon.
Well, yeah, that was, you know, you're right, because Bo Levi Mitchell was the third for a while, and we knew it.
And we talked about, who should get there, who should be the next guy, all that stuff. Yeah,
to me, the strength of this club is its depth. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. We are hoping to have more guests on here this afternoon. We are live at the Champions Tour event. It is the Shaw Charity Classic.
A couple of things, by the way.
Okay, please.
Bronco Mediate, defending champion.
Yes.
One under par.
Okay.
I think he's got one more hole to play.
Okay.
Stephen Ames finishing at one over par, according to what I've got here.
Okay.
Rod Spittle, top Canadian, at two under par. And we had Andrew Cairns, as I say, a hole in one on number six.
Wow.
I'd tell you more about him, but I don't have a bio on Mr. Cairns here on the
app.
On the app.
So. Yeah. Tom Pernice Jr. and Bart Bryant are in the clubhouse with eight unders.
Not 62. Brad Bryant, Bart Bryant.
Brad is not here. The brother.
Bart and Brad.
But very not a lot of brothers on the tour.
Haven't been many that I can think of.
No. Absolutely.
Arnold Palmer and Joe Palmer.
Yeah, it sounds like you're making that up.
Well, Joe only played one tournament.
Okay, so you were making that up. Brad, Bart's older brother, Brad, is also a member of the Champions Tour. They were one of only 12 winning brother combinations in PGA Tour history. I got that right off the top of my head. Did not sound like I was reading it at all.
Does it list who the other 12 are?
No, it does not.
I'm going through my brain right now.
It does not. We'll take a break and come back with more from Canyon
Bob
Meadows.
Bob Smith and Joe Smith.
And I'll tell you, as far as shows go, this one has been spectacular today. The weather has been terrific. The course is in excellent shape. You got to come down and check it out. It's Sportsnet 960, The Fan.